address, and we will send you a support pack. Thank you for listening.
What in the world is going on? Stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com to find out first, and on satellite at Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Yeah?
Okay. I got through.
Oh.
Not to WWCR.
Mm-hmm.
But I did get through to nothing. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. Today is Monday. And it is the 17th of January in the year 2005. And our guest this evening, ladies and gentlemen, is Alan Watt. He was with us last week, Monday and Tuesday. And we were in the middle, as always, of a very interesting... last Wednesday, we opened the phone lines for questions. And actually, he didn't get a chance to really... address one of them, and then I had a call from a listener today with the request, so maybe tonight that's what we'll be doing. Our spiritual message, as we do this so often when I'm not prepared otherwise, it's hanging on the wall in front of me from Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, Father, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And that's the same thing that we were told by Jesus, to know thyself. And that's what that says to me, folks. Know thyself. And that does take examination, doesn't it? And it takes introspection. And it takes honesty. It takes honesty. But, you know, on that thought, and I'll bring Alan up in just a second, but I remember when Stephen Jacobson was on with us, and that was back in sometime in 1998, pre-summer, because we were on at 6 p.m., and he was talking about the fact that we were talking about mind control, actually, and he, when I said, well, we know that the government isn't going to be setting up deprogramming centers around the country, what would you have to suggest or to offer to our listeners? And Stephen responded, unfortunately, most people believe that we are purely just a human being, a physical being, when in fact we are a spiritual being animating or inhabiting a physical body. And then he talked about the importance of getting quiet, and so that we can hear that voice within. Because as Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within. And so all of the answers are there too. And a friend called me afterwards because he mentioned the word meditation. And she said, I really adore Steve Jacobson, but he's gone New Age on us. And here's what she said. She said, we don't want to go looking within and getting down in there because we are so yucky, ucky, ucky, nasty. And this is exact. She really believed what she said. Rather than realizing that when we get past all that, it's where the true essence of we truly are. as spiritual beings. And that's what this Psalm 139 means for me, folks. And Alan, thanks for being here tonight.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
And waiting patiently while I got through those thoughts that were flashing through my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything to comment or add to what I was saying?
No, but when you were reading that psalm, I had a picture of someone getting searched at the airport. Search me, Father. Yeah. And then the mind control part to see if there were any nasty thoughts in there. Yeah.
You know, I'm getting no... what is going on here? Oh, my. Okay, we're all right. I'm glad I caught that. I was looking at the volume levels, and I thought it was a low volume on your part, but I saw that mine wasn't registering either, and this... There we go. Okay, fine. I just want to say the date again for this tape. It is Monday, the 17th of January in the year 2005, and Alan Watt is our guest. And so... Search me, Father. and you pictured people getting searched at the airport.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
All right. Do you remember last Wednesday, Alan? It was Janet. You probably don't. I do because I wrote it down here. Janet called in. She was our last caller, I believe. And she had a three-part question. And her last... The third part of her question was, what is our destination and our mission here in this physical realm, our message or mission for what we should be doing? I think she mentioned something about what would we be sharing with or relating to our loved ones and friends. But I might be interpreting that. Maybe that isn't exactly how she said it.
Yeah, the only thing you can relate to them is knowledge. It's what they do with their own mission is up to themselves with that knowledge, you know.
Yeah.
And as far as the mission goes, it's to ultimately break through all of the barriers and all of the masses of indoctrination we've been brought up with to become a complete individual. And take that spirit that you have as far as it can possibly go. And the whole structure here in the world is meant to create the mass man, the mass mind, and to stifle all individuality, ultimately snuff out an individual spirit. So it's a battle here between two different ways, you might say, of the way of the mass, which is planned for them, and the way of the individual. In the New Testament, of course, the way it was phrased there was that my kingdom is not of this world. Those of the world know it. You know, they belong to the world, and they think of earthly things. And what he's referring to there is the mass man. And that same statement was written, in fact, all of the statements in the New Testament have been said long, long before Jesus Christ. In Egypt as well, you know. So.
Would you? I'm so sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Back there, I missed part of what you said.
Yeah.
What he said.
Mm-hmm.
That. Would you just repeat that? I'm sorry.
Yeah. The statements in the New Testament, the main prime statements, are eternal truths, which mean that they always were true.
Yeah.
They are true, and they always will be true.
Some of the statements.
That's right. The ones that stand out are forever. They're eternal, in other words. There's no beginning and no end to them.
Because truth is.
Truth is, yeah. And yet, if you go into New Age psychology, which is the current trend with new the new morality, the new maturity, and all these phrases we're hearing coming out of the media, where they're going with it all is the opposite of that. They're trying to say the truth is variable at different times.
The New Age movement says that?
No, the New Age psychology.
New Age, okay.
Yeah, and all psychology today is a mixture off the New Age, which is the occult religion, basically.
Yeah, and there's a lot of truth in there.
There's a lot of
hidden
truth
in all the lies, isn't there, Alan?
Sure there is. But that's the problem, is they're so good at telling you the parts of the truth which were hidden and then putting their spin on it to
yes.
bring you into the way they want you to think.
And that's where the discernment comes in.
Yeah, and that's the hard part, because it's very easy to trap people with truth when they've never been given it before,
uh-huh.
and manipulate them with that truth. And so those who've always kept the truth to themselves down through the ages, dish it out at certain times, and then they put a spin on it, and then they give you the mission, which is their mission,
mm-hmm.
which is a world government, a world society, a politically correct society, where you could go to Beijing, to Britain, to Canada, and you'll get the same opinions expressed on every topic. That's what they want.
Yes, and the same British accent.
Yeah, that's
or whatever it's going to be.
Yes, well, it will be English, I know.
Uh-huh.
Because that was decided in the 1500s that the international language of the future would be English.
So why are they... oh, boy, I've got too many things going on here right now.
Mm-hmm. But as far as the personal mission goes... the person has to all they can do is express truth wherever they see it. And when they do see whatever the topic happens to be, that the king has no clothes, they have to say so.
Yes. You know, I've had people, listeners, when I have spoken in the past about Jehovah.
Uh-huh.
And there have been listeners who've contacted me and said, you know, I've wondered about a lot of these things, and now it's beginning to make sense.
Yeah.
And what I see is that people really know. There is that knowing, Alan,
mm-hmm.
And they squash it because it's like, oh, we're not supposed to question because this is the Word of God.
Yeah.
And that one of the important, I know for me, is really paying attention to, I guess, you just sometimes call it intuition, but something is there, and if you don't listen to it, it's like it isn't there anymore.
Yeah.
And it isn't. There's a quote in the Course in Miracles that says the Holy Spirit sees this world as a teaching device to bring you home, and I think that's a good way to put it. I mean, now that we're here. I've wondered a lot why the heck we ever got here in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
But that makes sense now that we're here. Our mission is to find our way home.
Yeah, and it really is an individual way, because you're either a leader or a follower. And it's so easy to set up a way for the followers to go.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, since a person to truly know any kind of truth, they must experience it for themselves. They never truly do experience it by following someone else's experience. You must find it yourself. You can go along certain ways towards it, but it's up to the person to truly find it for themselves.
Yeah, but, you know, I was 15 years old when I started reading the Old Testament. And at first it was frightening to me, very frightening, and that God in there scared the hell out of me, to be honest with you. But I suddenly realized that it wasn't true.
Yeah.
I knew it wasn't true, Alan.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that I didn't know what was the truth.
Yeah.
But I knew that was not, because there in me, from as long as I can remember, I knew that God is love.
Mm-hmm.
And we do know the difference.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's no doubt about it. I mean, if you took a Jehovah character or figure, you have a mafia godfather, basically, who demands sacrifice and kickbacks and praise. And he makes a bunch of rules for you, and at the same time, he's allowed to break them.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah. And, of course, even in the New Testament, Jehovah is a later, a newcomer in a bunch of different gods. It begins with the Elohim, which is a plural for gods, and Jehovah doesn't appear till later on the scene. I guess he must have knocked off all the competition, you know. But if you look at even the religion itself of a priesthood keeping knowledge to themselves,
yeah,
and being well paid, well funded from the fears of the people, and you see even the way it's based, which is to break a law, you don't, like a Protestant religion, for instance, or a Catholic religion, you don't sit and beat your breast and tear your hair out for doing something wrong. You don't sit and analyze yourself and wonder why you did it and rebuke yourself. You simply pay money and something else is killed to repay what you've done. Vicarious sacrifice,
yes,
they call it.
Yes.
So basically, there's no breast beating. You just pay the money, buy an animal, and it gets slaughtered in your place. You know, I mean, this is a weird sort of religion here.
Yeah, that was the thing that got me.
Uh-huh.
When he said, you know, to Abraham, well, you don't have to kill your son, just go get that ram that's caught in the bush.
Yeah.
And that was my thought was, why would God want little animals, innocent little animals, killed?
Yeah.
And I mean, let alone,
mm-hmm,
you know, test to see if you're gonna obey me.
Uh-huh.
You take your son up there and kill him.
Yeah, but it's nothing to do with real people.
I know that.
What you're seeing is a system, and the system is a wise guy system. It's a street wise person system. Where the elite and the cunning and the true predators are allowed to feed off the innocent. All the sacrifices, you notice, must be innocent.
Yes, Alan, no. I mean, I hadn't thought about that, but that's true, isn't it?
And it's a streetwise thing, because this system creates an innocent, gullible public, or did in the past at least, in order to feed off of them. And that's what your peasant class did for thousands of years, was to be fed on by this small elite, you see.
Mm-hmm.
It's a man-made system. There's no doubt about it. You know, you have a Jehovah who wasn't on Prozac then. He had no love in him, you know. I mean, if you got in his bad books or he had a bad day, he would just kill you, you know. And he also, I mean, this is, again, it's all allegory. He's telling you a godfather system or a mafia-type system, what you can get away with. And what you can get away with is what Jacob got away with, or the symbolism of Jacob. You can lie and steal and even cheat your father for your brother's birthright.
Uh-huh.
And the Godfather will bless you for doing it because you were very clever the way you did it. You see?
Yes.
And it's a mafia system. It truly is. Yeah. And it's a complete system. That's what it's all about. And even the priests who set up the Catholic Church, the high priests were well aware of the same system, even though they pretended it was different. It was the same system. And of course, you see it in all of their archaeology. Of the church. The church itself has the box, and that's the female womb, and they always have a spire which you walk through at the base, and that's the male phallic symbol. That's how most British parliaments across the world, the Commonwealth parliaments, are made the same way. The parliament in England has the congressmen, you might say, the MPs, inside the box, but they enter through the penis, because all life for the future begins with the male, the phallic symbol, so they walk through the base of the penis.
And of course, that's purely in the material plane.
That's right. And then, as in Egypt, the obelisk or phallus was called the ben-ben. That's two B's, ben-ben. And of course, Shakespeare puts it in his play, to be or not to be. It's another pun on the same thing. And then, you, of course, in Parliament in England, you have Big Ben. Why would they call it Big Ben? This big spire that you have to walk through,
yeah.
And it has a clock on it which tells you the time, because it's planning the destiny of the world.
Well,
that's what it meant.
Oh, wow. And I remember reading about the big obelisk in front of the Vatican.
Uh-huh.
And they moved that from, was it Egypt, Alan?
Well, Constantine's son moved it initially from Egypt, and that was a mammoth task in those days.
I know it, and anybody that made a mistake was killed on the spot.
But that was later, the second time.
Yeah.
The first time they got it, and they put it up in the circus where they had the games. And it was about 300 years ago that the Pope had it moved from there in Rome to St. Peter's Square.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, everywhere they've gone, they've set up an obelisk. There's one in that park in New York there. That was brought from Egypt as well. And there's the obelisk outside the Four Banks of London. And one outside the French Parliament.
And a great big one in Washington, D.C.
Well, that was Washington's greatest erection.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's a new one. In other words, that wasn't brought from Egypt. And that symbolizes the birth of the New World Order. That was the only new one they built. The rest of them were imported from Egypt, which is highly symbolic, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And so Washington...
You're getting away from the phone.
Oh, yeah. So Washington really was meant to symbolize the New World Order, Novus Ordo Seclorum.
Yes. You made a statement back there, and I made a little note here. And I'd like to go back to it just as a question that I have for clarification.
Mm-hmm.
When you were talking about the fact that their plan is to eliminate the individual spirit or kill the individual spirit,
mm-hmm.
and my concept of spirit of Creator would be eternal, that what the Creator creates is eternal.
Mm-hmm.
But would the word soul, the soul of the individual...
Yeah, that's closer because...
Yeah, because they say that the mind is the gateway to the soul, Alan.
Yeah, the eyes, yeah.
The mind?
Yeah.
The eyes are the gateway... The eyes are the...
Window.
The window, yes.
Yeah.
But the mind is the gateway to the soul.
Mm-hmm.
And if that is true, and you know, it never occurred to me ever until we began our conversations... that an individual could, quote, lose his soul. But
yeah.
I can see that these creatures, these insane creatures actually, and they can trap people in this physical plane.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. They've been at this for a long, long time. And their religion, of course, they say that the complete person is someone who has body, spirit, and soul. And that goes all the way back to Babylon and Egypt. And, of course, they say that the ordinary people, the commoners, you might say, are born with soul, which is the animating force.
Uh-huh.
But the destiny of the soul is to find its own spirit.
Yes.
And merge with it.
Yes.
And if they can keep the person from doing that, then they have succeeded. And because the soul itself, according to their religion, and it goes all the way back through the ancient religions, all the way back to India even, the soul only lasts 10 lifetimes, and then it goes back into this soup, this sea, they call it.
You mean if we haven't made it in 10 lifetimes?
If they haven't merged with spirit, yeah. And that was the whole mystery behind the explanation that makes no sense to most people, the way it's told, and it's that's intentional, of the journey of the Ka, as they call it in Egypt, and the Ba.
The Ka, K-A-H?
K-A.
K-A.
Yeah, and the Ba.
And the what?
The Ba.
B-A?
Yeah. And so what they claimed, you see, was, and they did it in such beautiful roundabout ways, so that the people would see it exoterically, but the initiates knew what they meant. And what it meant was, once they had died, the Ka, which, because they'd already attained spirithood, stayed with the body. The Ba went into the underworld, meaning the journeys, and had to go through all these perils and so on to find its own spirit. And once it came back in the circle, met the Ka, then they could go up to this heaven, you know.
Uh-huh.
And of course,
or go up to heaven
to or wherever, because he always said it was you rode with Ra in his boat, his ark.
Maybe the reason that they use the word up mm-hmm. is that it's a higher frequency.
Well, they also used it to symbolize an otherness.
Uh-huh, otherness.
Otherness from here, you know. And since he used astronomy big time and astrology and stellar movements, they always said it in astronomical terms. So when you achieved your destiny exoterically, you rode the ark across the sky. The ark was a boat, and that was the boat of Ra. And of course, once you'd made it, you rode in that ark. That was the ark of the covenant, as you rode across the sky in the ark, you see. And that was for the elite, and for the elite only.
Because they would keep the truth from the masses.
Always, yeah.
That would never be able to make that journey.
Yeah.
And okay, here's a thought. You said that it is said that after 10 times, if we haven't made it, then it just is dissipated, so to speak, back into the ethers, right?
That's what they claim.
Okay, well, I wonder, let's say that a person is in their eighth lifetime and they begin on that journey. I it just doesn't make sense to me that they might only have two lifetimes to get it all together, mm-hmm. but maybe at least that they have begun, and maybe the first, of course, part of it is coming out of the lies, being able to literally let go. I received a donation, and there was a card in it, and the note said that it's okay to say I don't understand the Bible, but when I say we've been lied to, it makes it very difficult to support this broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't know how to respond to that.
That's a choice.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't mean whether somebody's going to support the broadcast or not,
mm-hmm.
but that requirement. It's okay to say I don't understand. Yes, I know how to respond. I don't understand. I don't understand the esoteric. I know that, but I do. I can read. And I know that I know what isn't love. I may not have the full meaning or capacity of love at this point in my journey, but I know what isn't love. And I know what I'm reading, and I know that Jehovah of the Old Testament is not love.
Mm-hmm.
And so I could not say, I don't understand that.
Yeah.
I do understand it, Alan. I understand it. Mm-hmm. At least well for where I'm at right now.
That's right. Well, Jehovah, again, is a mafia figure. I mean, there's no doubt about it. The kickback system we're talking about here. And, of course, Masonry came from it, too, in all of its forms, no matter what sect they call themselves, which is, again, a kickback system. And, as they say, the workman is worthy of his wages, but that also means it's the workman who's helped along or up the ladder in promotions and so on, must also kick money upstairs. So this whole system is a kickback system. It's a degreed kickback system, including even the Catholic Church that came out of it. It incorporated all the mystery religions, which really were all one, but they seemed different because they were gifted different countries, and they've changed the names of the deities and so on. But the Catholic Church, look at the Pope, who's white, he's a son, see? And you look at the cardinals, who are red and black, so they have spirit. Spirit and the force, the life force, is always red. The black is law, and so they are law under the guidance of spirit. So it's a degreed system. Even the color coding goes back all the way to Pythagoras, who was taught this stuff in Egypt.
Okay. Let's pick this up on the other side of this break.
Yeah.
Folks, will you get your pen in hand? Those of you who would like to see the broadcast continue, you're going to get my address. And if you would like to become part of this as a participating listener sponsor, you're invited to do so. This broadcast is totally listener sponsored. We'll be right back.
Years ahead of the dominant media, find out first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com, on satellite, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
In case you didn't get the address, folks, I'll give it to you one more time. It is Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, Pennsylvania, 16936. P.O. Box 190, Millerton, Pennsylvania, 16936. Alan Watt is our guest, and as always, the conversation is very moving. I don't know what to say. Alan has two books that he has put together. He did this back in 98, 99, I guess, around then. And the books are available. They're booklets, I would say. They're $20 each, and that includes postage and shipping. And I'll give you Alan's address. What Alan did, based on a lot of the broadcasts that we did initially, because we did actually five full weeks the first time he came on, and there were so many people who had so many questions, so that Alan put together the first booklet, and then he followed it up with the second. As confirmation for a lot of the things and fuller explanation of a lot of the topics that we hit on, Alan's address, if you want to get the books, it is Alan, A-L-A-N, Watt, W-A-T-T. And the address is Site 41, that's S-I-T-E, Site 41, Box 4, Estaire, Ontario. That's E, S as in Samuel, T as in Thomas, A-I-R-E, Estaire, Ontario. And the postal code is P3, P as in Paul, 3, E as in Edward, 4, N as in Nancy, 1, P3, E4, N1. Underneath that, write Canada. And you have to use either Federal Reserve notes, that would be cash, or an international money order, because otherwise he would not be able to cash it. You can get an international money order at your post office. And if you want to have a conversation with Alan, he is offered to be available. And I can promise you this, he's not interested in debating somebody. But if you have questions or want to have a conversation with Alan, his phone number is 705-695-0416. 705-695-0416. You know what I have to do, Alan? I get used to the pattern on the telephone.
yeah.
And I had to picture the phone.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And I couldn't remember what those second three numbers were. Folks, the books are totally worth having for those of you who, and I know there are many of you. I get so many comments when Alan is on with us, of appreciation and wonderment, because as I said this a long time ago when he first began coming on with us, he brought us out of the Dark Ages, and some of the things he was telling us were just almost unbelievable. Not that we disbelieved it, but then we find more and more and more and more evidence all the time that what Alan has shared with us is right there in those old books. And a lot of our listeners did their own research and then began sharing that with me, that confirmed it for me. Yes, Alan?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I had a couple of examples I'd like to use, you know, because it is maybe confusing to people. You know, we are talking about discernment, and the gentleman who wrote and said, it's okay to say I don't understand, but when you say we've been lied to, but, you know, I'm not talking just the Old Testament. And here's one that catches me. This is in Matthew 17, or 18, excuse me, in verse 6, Jesus is talking about the little children. And he said, whoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better, you know, for him that a millstone was hanged around his neck. And, well, you know, to me, I don't think he said one of these little ones that believe on me, because all children were precious. All children are precious. And basically what I see this doing is any little child who doesn't know about Jesus is doomed. That's the way that appears to me. And for example, in the Lord's Prayer, when we were taught to say, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, I remember that catching in my throat when I used to go to the Lutheran church, because what we're doing is asking our loving Father, please don't lead me into temptation. And I knew that it couldn't have been said that way. Lead me out of temptation or away, but not ask, because a loving Father, we wouldn't lead our children into temptation.
No.
And why would we think that our Creator would ever do that? And when you were mentioning the Catholic Church,
uh-huh.
Well, you know, all of that BS got brought down into the so-called Protestant churches.
Sure it did. Yeah.
And in the Lutheran Church, this came into my mind the other day. It's a song we used to sing. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. The next line, listen to this. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. There we are, begging again.
Yeah.
And folks, this is what I'm saying, and these are a few things, and maybe Alan, because he understands a lot deeper than I do the exoteric message in these things, but for the untrained eye, these are the things that pop out at you. And it doesn't mean that there isn't truth, but this is what they've done. They've made us just absolutely, we're supposed to love our God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and to love a creature that is so hateful, a father, so to speak, that we have to beg him. Doesn't make sense, does it, Alan?
No. It's the old, it's the old unstable deity that's made in the image of man.
Yep.
And it's the image of the typical Middle Eastern despot of ancient times, because that's how he was, you know.
Yep.
He might give a present to a servant one day and have his head cut off the next. That's the unstable temperament that kept everybody on their toes. And they never knew what mood he'd be in the following day, you know. That's what Jehovah is. It's an image of... I mean, you know, if man was made in the shape of a triangle, they'd make God the same way. You know.
Yes.
So that's what they gave you, was a Middle Eastern despot who could do whatever he wanted to do.
Yes, and that's what people will say if they can't explain it.
Yeah, and they
say he can do anything he wants.
It's always amazing that they give an Old Testament version to the general public, but they don't give you the rest of it. They don't give you the accompanying Talmud or the Mishnah, you know, and all the other stuff that explains the Old Testament in a more of an esoteric fashion. And the only reason I can come to that they did not give that to the general public is they wanted a dumb, stupid, subservient, obedient, slaving public. And that's what they had for, you know, an awful long time. So religion was always used against people to keep them in servitude for a small ruling elite.
Well, and to do wars.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And to enslave others.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was all done under the auspices of Jehovah.
And they play games all the time, you know. There is no media, there's no news that is just news. It's all either indoctrination or mocking the victim, as they say. And the public are the victims. And have you heard about that nonsense with Prince
Yes, yes. And
he went to a ball.
I'm going to be away from the mic. We've already discussed this.
Yeah, but
you go ahead and
explain
this to our listeners. I'll be back.
Yeah, well, it's been all over the news about, oh dear, my goodness, Prince Harry turned up at a ball, and it's a fancy dress ball somewhere in England, a private do, and it was supposed to be the sort of Commonwealth and natives, basically. And he turned up as a member of the Hitler Youth with the Nazi armband and all the rest of it. And of course the media goes to town over this. This happens 2 weeks prior to the Queen opening up or going to the National Holocaust Museum in Europe to give a speech and opening it up and making it the National Holocaust or the International Holocaust Day. It's a bit coincidental. But at the same time, so it brings to public awareness the Holocaust industry. But at the same time, they miss what Prince William was wearing. Because Prince William, the papers said, was dressed like a leopard, but that's only part of the story. If you saw him on the TV in the brief flashes that they gave you, he had the feet of a bear, the body of a leopard, and the head of a lion. And that's the description of the beast in Revelation. So why was he wearing that to a fancy dress do, which was to do with the dominion and natives? So they mock us all the time with the little messages, even in this type of thing. There's nothing on the media that doesn't have double meanings and a lot of jokes, inside jokes, by the elite that rule this world. And the public respond to the exoteric the way it's intended that they respond, through guilt, shame, or whatever, and the elite laugh up their sleeves all the time. Nothing is done on the media without having a very esoteric purpose. And it always ends up with indoctrination and swaying the public one way or another. It's all mind control. You know, all of it.
Yeah, I'm back.
Yeah.
I had a call. Were you complete with that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I had a call from Jerry this evening, and he was a little confused. You had mentioned Revelations. We were talking about it last week, the fact that, you know, if you're writing it, you would be able to write about what their plan is.
You reveal it, right?
Yeah, reveal. Oh, that's right. That's what you said.
Mm-hmm.
The revelation is a revealing.
Yeah.
But I guess his wondering is, see, I've got books here on Revelations. I've got a 3-volume set of books, Alan, that's supposed to interpret what Revelations means.
Mm-hmm.
I've read probably 24 or more interpretations of Revelations, and every single one of them is different.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand it. But I guess his wondering was, does this lay out the plan as it's playing out today?
Absolutely. It's all astronomy. It's every creature mentioned in Revelations is a zodiacal sign, which appears at a certain time, and it's a time clock of the heavens, basically. And so they're following it right to the letter. You know, the beast is in the heavens.
Who's the beast?
The beast again. I should do a show on the whole thing.
You know what?
Yes,
you just took the thought right out of my mind.
Yeah, because
you know what? You're coming back tomorrow, aren't you?
Yeah.
Would you like to start now, or would you like to get it and get prepared a little bit?
Well, I should try and think it out to put over simply to people, because there's a lot of astronomy involved in it.
Okay, and then we can have our Bibles open. Mm-hmm. And as you're going through it and explaining your understanding of it,
yeah,
we could be reading along there.
Yeah, so maybe we could do that next week. So I'll have to put it in very simple terms to
crush it
into the time, you know, that we'll have.
Okay.
But no, it's all astronomy. And even though in ancient times they have changed one or two of the characters in the zodiac. I mean, the Egyptians had a crocodile in there at one point, and that was the beast of that time, you know. So, but they altered every so often. And Draku was the northern constellation with the northern star before the Arsteltid, which is historical. And Draku was the serpent, you know, the flying serpent or dragon, you might say.
No, I don't know, because I am not familiar with Revelations. I know some verses from it,
mm-hmm,
that are used a lot, but
yeah,
when you do this, you'll start right from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
That is cool.
But no, I mean, every character, even in the New Testament, including Cepheus, who was the head of the Nazi party,
including who?
Sanhedrin. You know, the Sanhedrin?
Uh-huh.
That condemned Jesus. He was the head, he was a Nazi, as they called it in Hebrew. He was head of the Nazi party. And
they called the Sanhedrin the Nazi, didn't they?
The head is called the Nazi, and actually it's the new moon. The splinter or the finger, the sliver of the new moon is also called the Nazi.
Okay.
In Hebrew.
And the Sanhedrin sat that way.
Yeah.
And also so does the UN, Alan.
That's right. And the head man was Cepheus, which means head in a sense. And he's also a astrological sign. So he's also in the heavens. If you understand how the zodiac all comes around.
Is that from the Kabbalah?
Pardon?
Is this from the Kabbalah?
It's pre-Kabbalah.
Astrology is an ancient science, isn't it?
It goes way back, even pre-Egypt. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting you brought this up. I was browsing through an astrology book today.
Uh-huh.
And it's a book that I've had, and I don't think I've ever read it, but I was reading the introduction and explanation, and this author, which I think the book was written around in the 70s,
uh-huh,
he was saying that astrology today is, you know, being understood, surely not in the way that you do, but he said that even the U.S. government, he was saying that businesses and et cetera have, you know, charts done. And he said that the U.S. government and Israel use astrology.
Mm-hmm.
But he said he didn't have any information as to whether any other governments did or not. I found that very intriguing.
Well, as I say, they wrote their plan.
The U.S. and Israel, though, the twins, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure. So they wrote their plans, and they had a long, long-range plan in the zodiac, and it's all becoming fulfilled because they knew where they wanted to get to and from where they were coming from.
Yeah.
And that's why, I mean, if you look at the constellations and you know what they're supposed to be, there's no way you'd figure that out unless you saw it drawn out.
Yeah.
So somebody, these high priests, much long ago, sat and said, "We'll make this Pegasus, and we'll make this so and so." You know.
Now, is it true? I may have read this in Zachariah Sitchin's book, and I am clear that he matriculated at the London School of Economics.
Yeah,
and when I found that out, I knew there had to be hooks, but
yeah,
I don't remember where I read it. But that the fact that the the Pleiades, I think, is it called, the Seven Sisters?
Yeah.
And that from where we are, you can actually only see six of them because one is behind the other.
Mm-hmm.
And that in Sumerian, back that far long ago, and you said that was, what, about 12,000 years, actually?
Mm-hmm.
That they knew that there were seven stars in that star system.
Actually, they knew there were more. And you can see seven with the naked eye.
Oh, you can see seven?
If your eyes are good, yeah.
Oh.
And it's actually more. However, there were nine at one point of 5,000 BC. And one of them went supernova, I guess, because it disappeared. And that was recorded by the Greeks. You know.
Huh.
So astronomy...
Why do they call it the Seven Sisters, then?
Again, it's another part of their mythology, as they hide a truth within a story, you know.
Okay.
And all of the main characters end up getting put up in the sky as a god, basically.
Yes.
Although they began as human kings. And that's what it's all about. It's a pun on their system of becoming gods. And as they say, as above, so below, and they would bring the new Jerusalem to earth, they're talking about the whole plan, which they wrote in the heavens, would be applied all across the world on the earth.
So when we hear the elite, and I know Rockefeller, at least on a couple of occasions I've heard this and read it, our window of opportunity is now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're using the astrological time frame, aren't they?
Yes, they are, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And well, yeah, these guys literally go by it, and they must stick to it, and they do stick.
And they believe in it.
Yeah, because their ancestors wrote it a long time ago.
Tell our listeners about 911, which you explained it to us.
Yeah, well, 911, I mean, even the fact that they give you emergency numbers is 911.
I know.
And just the very fact you end up with happening on that date, and it's supposed to be all coincidence, you know. And then, again, I think it was the Chicago Stock Exchange that day finished at 911000. And then I think it was the New York Lottery also came out 911. I mean, who's kidding who here?
Right.
This constant mockery.
But that date, September 11th,
yeah, oh,
was
yeah.
very relevant. You told us about that,
yeah,
and I
because,
think you have time.
It's to do again with a mythological character that came from Zeus, who created more gods. And the female goddess, which became Britannia on the British coins, the old British coins, who's a queen of the heavens, she's also a warrior, burst forth from his head on the Ides of September.
Was that Minerva?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
She's
a warrior queen like Zena, you know.
Uh-huh.
And what it signifies is something which could not have happened by itself. It's supernatural coincidences to bring it all together. It's not a natural phenomena. In other words, what was going to come out of 9/11 had been planned that way, and what was coming out of it was not what a normal a thing. It was not a normal event. It was a super planned event. That's what it's really telling
uh-huh.
you. And of course.
But you remember you told us about the ritual that they did and.
Oh yeah, I mean they had high rituals to do with the Ides and the bringing forth and all the rest of it of Minerva. But what really is significant is what Minerva signifies, which is a new way. It's a new way that could not have come out into existence by itself,
uh-huh.
by nature.
So he birthed her out of his head.
Yes.
I remember you telling us something about an ancient ritual that they used to do involved around that date,
mm-hmm.
and that it was a very important date, and it had to do with horses.
Oh, yeah.
And the colors of the robes or something.
Yeah, well, they definitely portrayed the Jupiter riding the horses around the city, and Jupiter, who portrayed that the part of Jupiter was painted red, driving his white horses.
That would be the blood.
That's right, and they also have a similar thing in, again, the Talmud to do with Solomon, which is the sun, Sol, Om, On, as the sun in three different languages, because that's what it really represents, is the illumined man, the Illuminati, the illumined man. And he also rode his six white steeds around the city.
And it was this particular event at that particular date,
mm-hmm.
in September.
Yeah.
And I remember doing research on the internet, and I found it, and you had mentioned, I think it was between the 11th and the 13th,
yeah.
and that if they hadn't accomplished what they wanted to,
mm-hmm.
with 911, something else was going to happen,
yeah.
to make sure that what they planned. You know, it's getting late here. We've got about 3 or 4 minutes left, I guess, but I was reading today about, and I wanted to share it with our listeners. I couldn't find the bill, but it's a draft bill, and it includes all children 18 to 26. That's, you know, they're working on that in its past, one of the chambers in the U.S. Congress.
Yeah.
And I'm going to hopefully have it tomorrow night. What made me think of that? There was, you know, when you and I talk, Alan, it's like my mind starts exploding.
Uh-huh.
And I can't grab my thoughts or my questions fast enough to hang on to them.
But to say that, that was the Saul Omar.
Oh, I know what it was. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know how Kerry, during the campaign,
mm-hmm.
well, I don't know if you know, but he said there will be no draft.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he added, unless we are attacked.
Uh-huh.
And it occurred to me today, if they're having a big uproar and opposition, they'll see to it that we get attacked,
yeah.
so they can initiate. I'm sorry to say that, but I'm like it's a given. But
yeah,
you get to see the pattern when we begin to understand past history.
Yeah.
They just keep repeating it because it works.
It works, yeah, and the public think they could never do that because it would be horrific.
And so they're probably, what was said in this email that I got, that probably they'll go ahead and pass it right around the time of the inauguration and that,
yeah.
while people's people's minds are on the inauguration.
Yes, plus on the news here in Canada, I think it was Wolfowitz has come out now pressing for war on Iran. And Syria.
Yes.
And of course, that's all part of the New American Century plan that they wrote back in the 90s.
Yes.
So they're going to that plan.
Yes.
And unfortunate 9/11 came along.
But and we're out of our hour here tonight.
Yeah.
You'll be back tomorrow night.
Yeah.
And ladies and gentlemen, I hope you will join us. I'm sure you will. And we will be back tomorrow night with Alan Watt. Thank you for being here. Bless you all. And if you didn't get my address, why don't you write it down? And maybe you would like to help keep the broadcast on the air. We'll see you tomorrow night. Thanks, Alan.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support, and stay tuned to First Amendment Radio.